Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening or good afternoon, wherever you're listening to from. My name's Matthew Donaghy, and co-host this evening again is Adam Weller. So just give him a chance to introduce himself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yeah, it's looks like it's going to be a good one tonight. Really interesting subject.
Yeah, I think it's close to a lot of people's hearts. And on this evening's show, we'll be discussing how post-traumatic stress disorder is at an epidemic level. It's been known, obviously, within the emergency services and within veterans for a long time, but it's very much now rife within the general populace. Certainly something I've had a mild experience of. And also Adam's had an experience of in his life. But what's also interesting for both of us as well is certainly I've working with clients that have been working with it as well. And it's such a wide variety of people can suffer from PTSD because it only takes one really, really traumatic situation to happen in your life that can create so many effects, maybe not straight away, even months or even years later. And for me, that was having a motorcycle accident. And what I didn't realise at the time is it was only really when I became emotionally aware that I realized I was even suffering. And I would say you don't know you're suffering until you realize, or for me, because although it was a close call and there were times within the accident you think, thank God I'm alive, you had the thoughts of, oh my God, I could have died, I could have been killed there. However, if you've had a lot of those experiences, obviously with the veterans, everything is just sort of personified. So for me, as I was saying, it's only really when I became aware of my emotions that I actually realised some of the symptoms that I had had for a few years, which was I've always been quite an active dreamer, and I'm sure a lot of you are aware that a lot of our dreams are relative to what's going on, and can be pointing out traumatic times within our lives. And it was sort of the waking up in the middle of the night, sort of with the, for me, when I was knocked off my motorbike, the first thing I remember is a bang. Then I remember seeing a white panel. The next image, because I'm sure a lot of you are aware, when you have an accident, it's like everything slows down. And it's like being at a slideshow. So rather than a fast action movie, it turns into an old slideshow. So for me, I just got very select images. And one of them that always woke me up in the dream was when I was knocked off, someone pulled out. I was overtaking traffic. Quite legally, I should state, and pulled out and just clipped my bike, and I flew across the other lane, and I remember seeing the other lane of traffic upside down, and having the thought, thank God nothing's coming, because if something was, that would have been me wiped out. And you think one experience like that caused me to, I wasn't as confident on bikes anymore. I didn't enjoy it as much. you sort of you still enjoy it, but it's almost like selectively enjoying it. So when it was an open straight road and there was nothing around, then it was all right. You feel safe. But the moment you're in traffic, it's like you're on that hyper alert. And this is where a lot of sort of like the emergency services and veterans, where they've seen a huge amount of trauma in different situations, you have so many more sort of flashbacks, and it's kind of you're very much in fight or flight mode a lot of the time. When you have a traumatic experience, the brain or your body goes in, is responding to a threat ultimately, and goes into what we call fight or flight mode, at which point the body would dump huge amounts of adrenaline, and it's like your brain gets stuck in danger mode, or fear mode, as we would say. So it's false evidence appearing real. So just because something's bad happened to you once, it doesn't mean that every time you're in that situation, you're going to have the same outcome and you're going to get hurt. But that's not what the brain tells you. So it's like on a constant hyper alert. So for me, that resonates with me when I was doing that same thing, because it was an accident, and I could have been seriously hurt, but I wasn't. And you sort of pick yourself up and you get on the bike, not straight away obviously, but at a certain point you make the decision that no, you've got to get over this and carry on. But it was only when I did the emotional release with Breath for Life breathwork that I really gained the understanding around it and being able to heal that situation emotionally, and gain the clarity around actually what really went on. I was actually really able to enjoy getting on a motorcycle again and not having that constant fear around, well, what if something happens? Because certainly when you're doing something you love, the last thing you want to be doing is feeling fear. You want to be feeling the joy. That's why you do it. So for me, in a very small way, but in a significant way, I was able to deal with mine. And I think Adam has a bit more of an extreme example, but it's amazing how when I looked into, we were doing the show, and that was the situation that it showed up in my life. And I thought, well, that's just one situation, and I'm sure we can all put our hands up and say you've had one or maybe a few situations within your life where you've been in an incredible amount of danger within a situation. You think, my heart goes out to the vets and the emergency services that probably see that on a daily basis. And that's why I think it's growing, or it's becoming more of a thing, because we very much live in a more extreme world. There's more of us around, so there's more of us having accidents and having traumatic experiences. So I think it's very much amplified in today's world, especially alongside with the mental health. So just handing over to Adam and allowing him to share his story.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that really sort of stood out for me when me and Matthew was talking about the show and PTSD, and sort of both, you know, sharing our experiences, just how many similarities there are between what we went through in our own right. So it's, you know, the traumatic event is almost irrelevant, you know. For Matthew it was obviously the bike accident. For me, being a car mechanic, I had a car fall on top of me while I was working under it. And, you know, I had the slow motion as such. For me, initially when it happened, it was completely calm. Once I got out, then I felt a bit. But then sort of moving on from that, it was then starting to notice how my behaviour had changed. When it would come to working on cars, I wouldn't feel comfortable underneath them. Constantly sort of at every slightest noise or movement or twitch, I was twitching and moving, and what's that, and is it gonna fall, all this sort of thing. I remember there being times where I'd literally scrambled out from under the car because I thought it was going to happen again. And obviously the car was perfectly supported and all that sort of thing. It was just my mind taking me back to that time where, even though it was supported, the support failed and the car fell on me. And once again, it wasn't until I actually looked into it, because I got to the point where I stopped working on cars altogether. I started off by making excuses for why I couldn't do this job or that job. And end up going and working on a building site because that was easier than dealing with getting underneath a car. But once again, when I decided that actually, no, I need to, mechanics is my trade and that's where my skills are, and I needed to go back to that, I went to see Penny, who I've been using for Breath of Life Breathwork for the last 7 or 8 years, and it was very much going in specifically around this event and, okay, what's it all about and why am I having the feelings the way that I am, to the extent I completely changed my life, my career, all that sort of thing, just to avoid this situation. Yes. And it was then when I realised, actually, when you look at the symptoms and how I was living and what my behaviour was showing me, almost every symptom of PTSD. So you've got it and you don't even know it. You just tell yourself what you tell yourself and make best of your life as you can.
Yeah, I think there's so many sayings, especially in the UK, that sort of man up's one of them and have a stiff upper lip, and well, you just got to crack on, like time is a healer, like you've got to get over it, come on, you just got to keep going. And it's sort of poison almost to the mind, because we tell ourselves that we got to get over it, whereas actually we need to deal with it. And obviously we've both found a very effective tool for dealing with the emotion around the situation, and we've both found, and certainly clients have found, that once you deal with and drain the emotion around the situation, you've more than halved the trauma. So you're always going to have the bad memory, but there's no emotional attachment. So it's not this big, scary trauma you've got locked in your basement that you plan on never seeing. It's actually when you just drain the emotions, because very much around the traumatic situation, whether you've had to deal with, and this is the thing, it's so varied. I could tell you a list of reasons that people have PTSD, but that would take half the show. But I mean, you've got pregnancies, the difficult pregnancies, you've got any traumatic experience, any sort of physical abuse, you've got sort of rape, some of the situations that emergency services have to deal with, and the firemen, and even things that you see in your daily life that actually are horrendous. You could see a car accident. There's any number of things that you could witness that you think, oh, that was terrible. And at the time, you could think it doesn't affect you, but actually, all these things do affect us. And I think that's why it has become such an epidemic, because it is a more extreme world now. There's more people, so again, there's more situations to be witnessed. And I think it's rife because a lot of people are sort of struggling to understand it. And I think that's probably one of the biggest frustrations that the veterans have, is that they're struggling to identify with who they were when they came back from tour, and they're trying to re-identify with who they were before, but they're completely different. So how are they able to identify? And it is such a large subject, and I think, as Adam was saying, a lot of people sort of struggle to understand it, and for that reason, I think it's important to do a show and to say that we're not claiming we've found a cure for it or anything like that. However, we've dealt with situations that involve PTSD, and certainly some of my clients have dealt with rape issues, with sort of abuse issues that have gone on over many years, and that's caused PTSD. And it's something, as I was saying, if you deal with the emotion around it, yeah, you're always going to have the memory, but the memories don't hurt when you've dealt with the emotion. And most of the emotions, you could break them down into four, really. And most of the emotions you're dealing with around PTSD, is the biggest straight off is fear. Now that can range from slightly scared to absolute terror, when you could be sure that you're going to die, kind of thing. That it's that bad. And also there can be some mad in there, and some sad. A lot of what people feel when they have PTSD is, other than the flashbacks and the panic attacks, it's the angry outbursts. Sometimes they can feel sort of numb, hopelessness, deep feelings of guilt and shame. And looking at that, it's interesting how these symptoms that are coming out are key emotions connected with traumatic experiences. So again, it just shows, or just kind of backs up how I can talk about it, because it's what I've experienced, and I've seen so many different people in different situations go through the same, and it's using the same emotional tool, and dealing with the emotion, and then the memory just is. It doesn't hurt. Memories are information rather than the trauma connected to the sort of memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know you're working with a vet at the moment, and that's certainly big up for him. So really looking forward to the next part of the show. So keep listening, and we'll speak to you after the break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back. So I'd like to go on and just talk about actually some of the triggers. So this is something that obviously I became aware of when I was riding my bike, that I was more fearful. But it's going into and I'm trying to understand a little bit more that actually I'm real passionate about helping vets, because from what I've heard from my clients that I've dealt with, is that it can be such a huge thing, and it can literally take over your life. And my heart goes out to them, because these are guys that have put their life on the line and put themselves in situations. And this, also remembering the emergency services that do exactly the same. And they go through these traumatic experiences, and it's like that's their work life, effectively. And they go back into their what should be their personal life. So when we leave the office or clinic or site or wherever you work, it's like you can leave your work at home. And the issue is this: you can't when your job involves experiences like this, and you've experienced a certain amount, it's difficult to switch off to them, because it just goes round and round, and there's so many triggers that I've heard of, like even just loud banging on doors. I've had clients say that they feel so disconnected from life and people. It's they find it really, really scary, because they're trying to get the person back that they remember, but there's so much in the way, it's like they can't remember. All they can remember is the stuff that's sort of in the middle, and it can affect so many aspects of their life. Sleep, relationships, behavior. I mean, it literally, when you've experienced that amount of trauma or pain, your behavior is going to be affected to such an extent that if your self-worth is low, then you may not be performing at jobs, so you wouldn't be able to keep a job, so then that goes out the window, and people can find themselves going downhill, and there isn't necessarily sort of the understanding. And as I said earlier, I'm not claiming we've got a cure. However, I've seen many people deal with variations of PTSD and traumas using Breath for Life. And that's very much, again, what we were saying last week about there being mental health awareness. It's awareness is great, and talking about things is also great. However, taking action is the way to go. It's the way to go with climate change now. It's like we're at a point where we have so many things to deal with, and they're not small issues now. There's millions of people struggling with PTSD, and when you think there's that many people struggling, and actually there's not enough, maybe not enough being done for these people, regardless of your belief or anything like that, I think it's worth giving anything a go. And if somebody's said, if some of what we've said resonated with people and you think, well, yeah, I haven't tried breath work, maybe I should try that. It's like, do it. We need to try and almost G people up and say, look, we've had situations, and we've had clients that have had huge situations around PTSD to deal with. I've had a friend of mine who was a fireman for very many years, and I won't share the whole story because it's pretty horrific, but one of his weekly jobs for him and the guys at the station were to pick bodies up off the ground after they'd thrown themselves off one of the local buildings, which was known for being a good jump spot, so to speak. And it literally sent chills through my body that somebody had to do that, and they considered that one of their regular jobs, like sweeping the floor. And it really, really did get me, and I thought, you know, people, we need to help people here. People really need to be sort of educated on, look, this, people have been able to deal with it in this way, so give it a try. And it's like, don't give up, because I know a lot of people with the or suffering with PTSD have the feeling of giving up, because they almost feel like nobody knows how to deal with it, and although some of the explanations are correct, it just doesn't change anything. And sometimes talking about it can only make things worse for people, because they find it brings things to the surface, and actually that's the last thing they want, is for it to be in running around their conscious mind the whole time. So again, that's I think why the work we do is so profound, is that you're able to deal with the emotion, and then the memory is just the memory. You're always going to have the memory, but it's not going to have the traumatic impact. So it's dealing with the emotions that you didn't deal with when the trauma first happened. So is there anything you'd like to add to that, Adam?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's like, you know, you have to sort of get off the merry-go-round. And I think it's sort of one of the aspects, and don't get me wrong, there are many other sort of mental health issues that will do this sort of thing to you, but it's like, you know, you're ignoring the emotions around the initial trauma and event, and adding more and more of that emotion, that anxiety, or the utter terror, you know, whatever the sort of the emotion may be, and as you add more to it, then the symptoms are such heighten, and the flashbacks and the this, the that, the other become more and more, and it's, you know, for me, and especially in the line of work we do, you have to bring it back to the emotion every time, because once you can clear them, you can get off of the ever diminishing circle that you hear so many people say that they're just going down and down and down, and they're nothing's working, you know, and it is until you remove that anchor to the emotion from the emotion to the event, then you're not gonna clear the thoughts and feelings around it, because from my point of view, especially with the work that we do and how we look at things, it's very much a case of, well, that is just telling you what you need to work on and what you need to work out to move forwards, you know, because it is all about moving forwards to have the best experiences in life you can, you know. For me, especially sort of touching on sort of the services, whether that be armed forces or, you know, your medics or, you know, police or all of them, really, it's for a lot of the time, it's, you know, they're just telling themselves, but it's just my job, it's just part of the job, it's just part of the job. And I think that's...
Yeah, it's like one of those sayings they tell themselves, isn't it? It's kind of like, oh, well, it's just part of the job, and it's just... You just got to do it. You just got to keep your chin up and do it.
yeah, it comes back to sucking it up, doesn't it? So, well, you suck it up and get on with it, you know. You chose to do that job. You could have been a window cleaner sort of thing. When it's like, well, you know, if that is sort of one of the byproducts of your job, then find a healthy way of dealing with that, you know. Mm.
And this is the thing. I mean, they're such empathetic people. When you think about it, what some of them have to go through, and they tell themselves, well, it's part of the job and it's just what you do. It actually, it's not. And there's a lot of people out there that probably couldn't do that job. And it just goes to show just how much empathy and unconditional love these people have for humanity, that they will go above and beyond what most people could put themselves through and think nothing of it and see it as, well, it's just a job, it's just something you do. No, it's not. You're real life heroes. You're doing incredible jobs to keep people safe, and actually we need to give more help out. It's certainly something I do within my clinic. I knock off 20% to anyone who works within the, or has done, worked in any emergency services or been in any of the armed forces, because it's just so important. And I feel so lucky that I'm able to live the life I am out of fear, in joy, knowing that if anything ever was to happen, that you have people around you that are willing to help. And I think, again, that's what sort of drives my passion to get out there. I think Breath for Life breath work would make a difference to so many lives, because I've seen it. And I think a lot of the time it is about sort of almost like the first stage is that sort of people talking about it. Because a lot of people out there don't want to necessarily talk about it. And this is because if you are suffering with PTSD, you can have the feelings of sort of being a burden or feeling hopeless. And the last thing you want is to express that. Because then by expressing that, you feel vulnerable because you feel like something's wrong with you. And it's almost like saying, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with you. You've been through a traumatic experience. That traumatic experience has certain results on a person. That means nothing about you, other than you've experienced a traumatic experience and it's going to have some effects. And I think this is another important point that I'd like to get across, is a lot of people think that, a lot of people judge people on their behaviours. And if you look at some of the behaviours of some of the vets out there, it would be easy to judge and think they're bad, abusive people. But actually they're not. These are people with hearts of gold that are just in a lot of pain and don't know how to act, and often act out. But ultimately, to me, the more extreme a person's behaviour, it's just showing you how much pain they're in. So the worse a person's behaviour, the more pain they're in. Because if they're doing a behaviour that you see as bad behaviour, toxic behaviour, abusive behaviour, the chances are they don't know any different, sadly. It's just learned. It's what they've seen. It's what they've learned. And so it's like with the soldiers, it runs so deep.
You know, it really does make it difficult when you look at it on the bigger picture and with how everything's going on in the world, you know. And I'd say the talking and the, you know, the awareness that we're building is great. But, you know, if you are a friend of someone and there is someone that you may suspect, maybe that's one thing to look at, is actually just how has their behaviour changed, you know? Mm. What are the differences we're noticing here? You know, were they always happy and jolly and now, you know, the glass is half empty? Because I think, you know, that is, we do almost sort of act out our inner feelings through our behaviour.
Yeah, I think certainly when you look at some other conditions like ADHD, is a real easy example, is you look at it, isn't it? It's attention deficit disorder. So they just need more attention. And well, there's no issue there other than you need to give them more attention. And now it can run a lot deeper than that. But it is that
it's looking at what the behaviour highlights, you know, what the underlying issue is to it, you know. Like you say, we don't just choose to behave a certain way, or, you know, maybe your behaviour changes and you're perceived to be a nasty person or untrustworthy or whatever the case may be. People don't make the choice to, I'm going to change my behaviour and be really untrustworthy. There has to be a reason to it, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people can mistake that from, if a person's got low self-esteem, which often vets end up with, is they don't have much respect for self. And I do find with vets it's slightly different because they've always got their discipline. So on the being tidy, it's like they're almost, there's still that regimental side to them that they'll never lose, which I think is brilliant. But it's like they can't have that discipline with their own mind or with how they're feeling, partly because they don't understand it. But it's right, we're just going into the last break, so keep listening and we'll speak to you on the other side of the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
welcome back. So just handing over to Adam for a minute.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I just sort of wanted to say a little bit more about, you know, sort of these actual events in themselves. And, you know, it's not always the bombs going off or the car crashes. I was recently fortunate enough, I took part in an evening where I was giving Reiki treatments to lots of nurses at a local hospital, just to give something back. And, you know, it was for them, it was a bit of pamper time, sort of thing, which, you know, it really was a great event. But talking to lots of them afterwards, and very much is, you know, they're sort of almost asking the questions, how can I deal with this and leave work and not have it lingering? You know, for some of them, they, you know, they're seeing death and that sort of thing on a daily basis, and you can feel it while you're giving them Reiki, that they're holding on to this big ball of stuff. And it's,
yeah,
you know, for so many of them, it's, you know, it's not a traumatic event per se to them, but actually just seeing that day in, day out, and it's, you know, it has that wearing effect, and actually it starts to, you know, almost rub off as such. And then,
yeah, one of my clients, Danielle, she's a nurse, and she's recently been promoted, and she has a larger role within the ward or the unit that she works in, and something that she's bringing back in as a tool is debriefing. So when they go through a traumatic experience, and whether it's working in midwives, you're receiving babies, or working in trauma units or intensive care, it's having that time after an experience to turn around and say, actually, do you know what? Even though I've had years of training, in that moment, I was scared out of my wits and I didn't know what to do with myself. I was sad, I was scared, I was angry, I was all over the place, but I managed to hold it together and I'm really proud of myself. And to be able to even just use a tool like that to have the debriefing to say, how did you feel about that situation, could be so useful, because it's something that we use within our lives. If we come up against a situation that we're not sure about, or there's some fear up, in most cases there'll be fear around something, but I think it's a real useful tool. And again, it showed me the amazing thing that I had helped one of my clients had dealt with something in a clinic, and then gained the passion to actually try and bring those emotional tools into the NHS. And it literally lit me up, and it's why we do what we do, because you see people totally crash through sort of things that they're struggling with, or disorders or whatever it be, and then try and make such a difference for everybody else. And I think that's why we've got a passion for this, because there are so many people out there that sort of need the help. And as I was sort of touching on earlier, it's great to talk about it and get people aware, because a lot of people don't want to talk about it and they feel vulnerable. But then it's about sort of taking action and saying to these people, look, it's not looking good from how it is, to leave something as it is, or to just use sort of like a chemical drug, or even a like alcohol or many other drugs that I'm sure they form addictions when you're in that kind of low space. As we were saying about behaviours, a lot of people in normal life wouldn't have an addiction, because when you look at it, it's ultimately self-harming, really. And it's trying to replace a feeling of not feeling good. So it's about sort of very much taking action now and saying, look, let's try anything. if there's something out there that is gaining traction on proof and things like that, give it a try. It's a saying that I love. Penny's always used throughout her trainings is, don't believe what I say. Go and test it, and it every single time it's proved that what Penny has been talking about is completely real. And what I love about it is it's like, even if there could be, say, 20% of you says, oh yeah, I believe that, and you're walking away and 80% goes, no, that can't be possible. And you try it and it's possible and you go, oh, Penny was right. And it's one of those things. It's like, don't believe a word we say, like, try it, like, test us. And test other people that are sort of saying, I know very much in the States there's sort of Bodhi soul breath work is the sort of the closest to Breath for Life. It's a fantastic tool that so many people could benefit from and gain some understanding. I think there's a lot of children as well that we almost forget about, because again, the way that people talk about it is very much about sort of coping with it or finding strategies. And it's, for me, from the experience that I've received, it's like everything on an emotional level can be reversed.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's important. You have to do something, you know. I mean, for us, you know, every day of the week it's Breath for Life breath work, because it's, you know, in my opinion, probably the most effective tool for dealing with emotions and the root causes of the issues. But it's do something, find something, you know, whether it be bringing in a work strategy where you have debriefings so that you can actually leave it at the door when you walk out. You know, for me, I will always use energetic tools, visualizations, that sort of thing. But it's do something, you know, because and this is what we say when we mean, you know, we're talking about it's great, but you need to do something. You know, we're never poo-pooing the people that are starting to talk about it and make noise. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's a really important stage, you know. I've tried talk therapies and they didn't work for me, and that doesn't, and by that I don't mean they don't work for people. I think they are very important, and as Adam said, we're not here to poo-poo anything else, because I think everything in place has its place and can be effective. It's just we're coming from a different view, and it's very much on personal experience. And I didn't realise when I tried Breath for Life breath work just how effective it was. And I know that I've had clients say they were sceptical, and one that sort of made me laugh is I had a fireman in, and he said he didn't really feel much through the hour and 45 minute session, although it did feel like a panic attack all the way through. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, because when you look at something that obviously firemen, if you've got to run into a burning building, you're suppressing fear like there is no tomorrow. So I thought, well, if you open your emotional box, what's likely to come out? And I thought, well, if it's going to be anything, it's going to be fear. So he may not have felt as though he had dealt with much, but during that breath work, I would suggest to him that he dealt with an hour and 45 minutes of the fear that he'd been suppressing all the time. And the change from just one session was incredible. And regular sessions, vast improvement every time. And I think that's what I love about it, is the reward of being able to work with people like that. And I enjoy working with all my clients, but some of the stories that these people have, and your heart does go out to them, and again, it's what ignites my passion, because it's like, right, well, we need to do something about it, because we've been talking about it for way too long, and we need to just start putting stuff, more stuff out there. I've found a great increase since having my article in the magazine, and that's obviously drawn a lot of people in. So, and I'm finding that there is definitely I wouldn't say more people waking up, but there's more people that are sort of passionate. They're not taking.
Yeah, there's big shifts happening, I think, all over the world. You know, people are starting to open their eyes and rub their eyes, and whether that be in actually this aspect of the world isn't right, or that aspect of the world isn't right, or on a more personal end. No, let's start evolving. Let's start working to that best version of self. I think there are lots more people starting to do that, and I think in some ways that's probably where we are getting so much more sort of publicity and noise made about all of the sort of the, you know, the mental health spectrum. And you know, for me, the mental health and emotional health run side by side, and
yeah, absolutely,
lots and lots more coming out about that and that sort of thing. And you know, so it is great, and I think progressively, albeit maybe slowly, we are starting to go in the right direction with this sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in many ways, as I was saying earlier, you look at sort of climate change, it's, we are very much waking up to the realisation that we've perhaps taken a few wrong turns along the way, and without beating 7 billion people up, we're not going to change anything by doing that. It's a case of going, right, okay, well, it's not about blaming the generation before or the generation before that. It's about coming together, finding a solution, finding effective ways of dealing with the issues that we're faced with in today's world, and doing it with fun and joy. Because I think that's a lot of it, what stops the change. It's the stigma around things. It's the way it's almost like made out to be a huge thing, and then that makes people feel vulnerable, so then they don't stand up. And it's about saying, hey, look, we've got issues here, and it doesn't matter which ones of us have which issues, but we have some solutions here, and maybe we should all sort of embrace it. And I think with mental health especially, it's like, for me, I don't necessarily like the term mental health, but only because of the word mental. Because your first association when someone says mental is they're crazy, they're a lunatic. And that's just not true. To me, far more graceful and realistic term would be emotional.
Well, it's just emotional imbalance, you know.
Imbalance, I mean, yeah, thank you. Because it just means that your emotions are imbalanced and you don't quite know how you feel. And that's something that I've experienced when I was in my depression and anxiety. It was kind of like I'd have thought forms that I wouldn't repeat because people would think you were crazy. But when you're in that vibration and you're in that space of personal darkness, you do have these thoughts and you do have those things, and it's not being ashamed of it, and it's being real about it and saying, just because you had those thoughts once, it doesn't mean you're crazy. Your brain has millions of thoughts, most of them completely random and not logical or make sense. It just is what it is. Your brain's just a computer and will come up with strange things. So again, it's like not judging people and not making it a big deal, because I think in making it a big deal, people shy away. And it's about saying, well, it is no big deal. There's a logical reason why a lot of people go through it, and it's called life. And it's because we're living in a world that sort of isn't as loving and community and coming together as we would like. It's a little bit rat race and dog eat dog and I'll eat you because you'll eat me type attitude, and nothing seems to quite fit. But that change is coming, where people are saying we actually have to all take responsibility and not blame and not judge. You should never look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. Nobody is any better than anybody else. No title, no money, no nothing can make you better than anybody else. We're all human, we're all pink inside, and we're all equal. And it is about coming together and helping those that need help, because often the ones that need help are only in that situation because they've been helping others for a long time and they've forgotten about themselves.
Yeah.
And it's a big key thing within PTSD. These are people that are helping hundreds, thousands, millions of people, and yet they're the ones that are sort of suffering. So unless there's something you'd like to add to that, Adam, it's been a really interesting show. If you feel inspired, get in touch. Any organisations interested, please do get in touch. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. See you all next week.